The word of the Lord, which forms a portion for our sermon text this morning, comes to us from Hebrews chapter 12, the first six verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patient endurance the race that is laid out for us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your fight against sin. Have you also forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly. Do not become weary of his correction, for the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves, and he corrects every son he accepts. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father and through your Savior from sins, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. How do you feel about running? Many people love it, that is, running, especially this time of year. This seems that the days are getting nicer and nicer around here. It's much better, of course, to run on a nice and sunny day, as opposed to running in cold weather, where you have to dress heavily to keep yourself warm. I don't think it would come as a huge surprise to any of you to find out that I myself am not a fan of running. Running, to just to run, seems like a pretty insane concept to me. No doubt, there are many health benefits that one would receive from running. Can't deny that. But I never understood the people who would just run for fun. To me, running, it's not fun. It's work. It's a struggle. It's something that, yes, can be good for you, but to me, it's not something that's particularly enjoyable. And yet, at the same time, this concept of running is a great comparison to what we are doing here today in this world. Life is a run. It's a race. Life being run as a race is something that the Bible makes reference to at several points. The Christian is like a runner who runs a race. The finish line is that final rest that we have from this world. In the meantime, all we can do is keep putting one foot in front of the other. Are there times when we run this race that are enjoyable? Yes, most certainly. We have been blessed immensely. But at the same time, running is work. It is a struggle. This life we live at times can be a slog, but it's one race that we still must run. So how are we supposed to do that? Well, it's not by sheer grit or determination. If that were the case, none of us would be able to even get out of bed. Instead, we have been given a few motivating factors. This text here lays them out quite well. What are the keys to your Christian race? Good coaching, focus, and conditioning. These things make it possible to run our race, rather, and they are important, but they don't come from us. Rather, they are instilled by God. It's only through your Lord that we can run our race. And so we will run our race. We will run for him. We will run through him. So we pray, may the words of my mouth and the praise of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As was mentioned in a previous sermon, I watch a lot of college basketball, especially in the month of March. Whenever a game is about to tip off, the analysts will list a few key factors, things that a team might do in order to win that day. Keys for success, they call it. I always enjoy these because most times they are quite obvious. Other times I enjoy them because, as simple as they might be, they are easier said than done and quite difficult. Something like the team needs to score in transition to win, or the team needs to shoot well from the perimeter to win, or the team needs to defend well down low. These are things that every team, of course, would like to accomplish, but at the same time, they are quite hard to do. Our text talk starts off by listing a key to success of the Christian race. As obvious as it is important, it's also incredibly difficult. Verse 1 again, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with patient endurance the race that is sent, that is laid out for us." Today, of course, is the last Sunday in the season of Lent, which we know to be Palm Sunday. This event of Palm Sunday, which we read about in John's Gospel, was toward the end of Jesus' long road to Jerusalem. It all led to this. This was always where his road was going to lead. He was born for this moment. And as he rode into Jerusalem that Sunday, he was on his last lap. When he would get to the cross only a few days later, well, his finish line was certainly in view. The book of Hebrews is essentially a sermon that is preached, and there's a line of thought that runs throughout the whole book. Our text starts out with a great summary word, therefore. So it's important to understand, therefore what? In the previous chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, that's sometimes referred to as the chapters of the heroes of faith. The writer brings up all these examples from the Old Testament of people who, by faith in the Lord, did incredible things. People like Abraham, Moses, King David. Many of them, as well as they did incredible things, also suffered. All of them, except for the incredible example of Enoch, also died. They died, as the writer lists, in some incredible, excruciating ways, too. Suffering horrendously. All these examples, he says, now are therefore the reason why he will point to what he does in our chapter. That term, cloud of witnesses, always really sticks out to me, at least. That term for witnesses in the Greek is the word martyr. We may think of a martyr as someone who is executed for their faith, but that's not exactly all of what a martyr is. A martyr, at the end of the day, is simply a witness. What do martyrs do? They witness. The heroes of the faith witnessed to the fact that who they believed in, the Lord, was who he said he was. If Jesus isn't exactly who he was, who he said he was, then why would the apostles all be willing to suffer martyrdom for him? Their deeds and death are all witnesses to Jesus' life and death. But why are they a cloud? Well, what does a cloud do? It shades us from the sun. If you were running on a dry and hot day, let's say, wouldn't it be better if the sky was full of clouds? That way it would shade you from the harmful rays. When we run our race, we look to those heroes of faith, not just the people in Hebrews 11, but the heroes that we have known in our lives. We look to them, and they provide us a game plan as to how to run our race. But as great as those people were, they still had their flaws. Yes, their faith in the Lord was all something they had in common. But something else they had in common was their sin. Abraham, Moses, King David were all great men with great faith, but they were also great sinners as well. We can learn a lot from them, yes, but they were just as sinful as we are. But the main thing that we learn from them is that in spite of their sinfulness, despite how many times they transgressed against the Lord, they were still able to complete their race. How so? Let us get rid of every burden and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Sin does ensnare us. Every sin that we commit is an impediment to our running of our race. So therefore, let's get rid of that. Get rid of the sin. If you were about to dress for a marathon, how would you dress? Would you wear jeans, boots, and a coat? Well, of course not. You would dress lightly. You would dress in clothing that wouldn't restrict your movement, wouldn't weigh you down. There's only one way we can run properly, and it's to get rid of anything that would impede our race. How do we do this? We repent. Only God can remove sin from us, and only God can remove guilt from us. That's the one part of sin that does not get mentioned as frequently, the guilt factor of sin. We know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, but still there is that guilt, that guilty feeling that can linger over sins. The guilt can slow us down as much as the sin itself. The only way we can be assured of sins forgiven, guilt removed, is by looking to the Lord. Psalm 32 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. To be able to have a successful race, we need to have, first, good coaching. It's imperative. We need to learn how to crawl before we can walk. And we need to learn how to walk before we can run. The only way we're able to do this spiritually is by being coached in the Word. There we see the many witnesses that have gone before us, run before we have. There we see the one, Jesus, who never got tripped up in his race. He ran it to its fullest. He is our Redeemer and the ultimate example of how to run. When he entered into Jerusalem that Sunday, well, his race was almost over. He would continue to run it perfectly, and that's why we today here have hope. Who better to learn from than the one who runs perfectly? Verse 2, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author of our faith and the one who brings it to its goal. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of God's throne. Good running also requires good focus. If your focus isn't right, then your run will suffer. I have been told that it's best to keep your eyes up, straight ahead, when you're about to run. When I'm running, I tend to look down at my feet or even to look up at the sky, but that really hurts your breathing. If you do that, you're not going to run as well. Also, it's hard to see what might be ahead in your path if you're looking down at your feet. Where are we to look when we run our race? To the cross, of course. It is our focal point, not only in the season of Lent, but in our whole lives. If we look elsewhere, well, we're going to get tripped up. Our spiritual enemies will do anything to distract your focus, your gaze, away from the cross. Things like politics, the media, or yes, even sports can distract you from the cross. These things are not evil in and of themselves, but they can be used to distract you of your real goal. If your focus is on anything other than Christ, you will suffer in your run. In basketball, there are many ways the crowd tries to mess up the opponent. They will chant taunts. They will wave things behind the three-throw basket when the team is shooting. They will jump up and down and try to make noise to rattle them. It's quite striking this year to not have crowds at basketball games. The crowd is normally such a huge factor in these competitions. To have them reduced is really jarring. And make no mistake about it, as we run our race, we do not have a home field advantage. It might seem like it at times, like here at church. We're among our fellow brethren, our believers. This is certainly helpful in our race to strengthen each other, encourage each other. But it is a huddle. Most of the time, we're out there by ourselves in hostile territory. We're behind enemy lines. Just look at Jesus on Palm Sunday. There, it seemed like a homecoming for him. People streamed out of Jerusalem to see Jesus enter it. They waved palm branches, threw down their garments. They treated him like a king. They shouted out, "Hail, Hosanna! Blessed is the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord." But soon, those hosannas and praises would sour into "Crucify him." This world will hate you because this world hated him first. But focus on his focus. In view of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Jesus would not let his focus get distracted from saving you. The joy that was set before him is now your joy, eternally set before you. He would endure that cross. He would endure the shame. He would disregard it. It wouldn't even factor in. Shame, agony, pain, even hell itself would not distract him from saving you. He was able to keep his goal in focus. So focus on his focus. Keep those eyes up, straight, focused on the cross. Verse 3, carefully consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinful people, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood in your fight against sin. How bad do you want it? What are you willing to do to win? Are you willing to give up, to do what it costs to win? These are questions that a coach might ask of any player. They want to prepare their players for the fact that it's not going to be easy. This race is hard. You have to be prepared for that fact. And yes, our race is hard. Life is hard. It's highlighted, sure, by great moments. But there are certainly many lowlights as well. What are we willing to experience in order to keep the faith? Are we ready to bleed for this? So far, like the Hebrews, we haven't had to do that yet, but it certainly is possible. Don't put it past the world. Are you ready to die for your faith? Are you willing to bleed for Jesus? Because Jesus was willing to bleed for you. He bled for your salvation. Our text draws our focus upon that fact. It tells you, consider it carefully. This race, it's not easy. No matter what, it's still a race. It's still a struggle. But Jesus did not lose heart, even when he had to die. Shouldn't we have that same attitude? Well, how can we be prepared for that? How can we be prepared to die for our faith. God prepares us. Everything that we struggle through now is strengthening us for the running of that race. One does not simply wake up one morning, decide to run a marathon, and then go out and just do that. I suppose there are people who could do that, but most of the time, anyone preparing for such a race would do so through conditioning, through practice. They would train for it. Have you also forgotten the encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard the Lord's discipline lightly. Do not become weary of his correction. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves. He corrects every son he accepts. That is why correction is so important. It trains us up. It's certainly important when you raise kids. Children need to learn from an early age that not just anything goes. They don't always get what they want. They need to learn that. There are consequences for things. These are all facts, not just true of children, but for any one of us. The earlier we learn those truths, the better. Discipline overtaking, let's say, your brother's toy, well, that may seem pretty insignificant to us, but it's an important teaching opportunity. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that now when you're a child. You don't get to do that later in life also. We need to learn. We need to learn how to endure. We need to learn how to take hits and get back up, because that is what it takes to get through this world. That is what conditioning is. It is being hardened by going through hard things. That's why we train, so that when the moment comes, we are prepared. Again, turn your focus to Jesus. How was he prepared to go to his cross? Well, his whole life was a preparation for that moment. He was constantly in the scriptures, in the word. He was constantly being about his Father's business. He lived a perfect life. He never had to be picked up from falling down. And we, on the other hand, are quite a different story. But of course, isn't that why we are here today? To be conditioned by the word? To learn from what Jesus did and why he did it? Are we not being disciplined every time we come to church? Here, we confess our sins. It's one of the first things we do in our order of service. We just got to get it out of the way. Lord, we've sinned against you. We are sinners. We deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. What does the Lord say to you in response? He is quick to remind you that you are forgiven. You are saved. We confess our sins to hear what he says. He says to you the same thing he said to that sinful woman. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Yes, I love sports. I love athletic competition for many reasons. One of the most important reasons I like it is because of the lessons that they teach. They tell us that things don't always go your way. You don't always win. They tell us that it's hard. It's a struggle. You have two different teams trying for the same thing. They both want to win. One wins. One loses. Running, the sport of running, is a whole different animal. It's more of a personal thing. You're not necessarily trying to beat another team. You're trying to beat a time, really. Most times you're running against yourself. How can we be prepared for our run? What are the keys to success? The keys to a successful Christian run? Well, you need to be well coached by the word. You need to have that focus that keeps the eyes on the prize. And yes, you need to be conditioned to run this race. We don't know how long our race will last. The finish line for some is probably a great distance in the future. The finish line for others, well, they may be on their last lap right now. But the goal is always the same. The goal is to keep on running until we cross that finish line, until we get to heaven, and then we can finally rest. What was Paul's conclusion to his race being almost ended? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The one who wore the crown of thorns, Jesus, is the one who wears the crown of righteousness. Without Jesus, it's impossible to run our race. It's impossible to crawl. But with him, all things are possible. He is the one who did it first. He did it perfectly. We, therefore, focus on his focus and on his run. We do it to improve our own. We see that he never falls where we constantly do, but then we focus back on the cross. We see him there picking us back up, getting us on our feet again, telling us, continue running. Yes, it's a slog at times, but it's one worth slogging through. Why? Well, because at the end of the line, we win. We win the righteousness he won for us. All praise and thanks be to Jesus Christ, that master runner, who we run through and who we run to. Amen. Please rise.